welcome to another episode of the Extraordinary Moms Podcast. I'm Jessica Dahlquist, your host, and every Tuesday I interview a different mom who shares their motherhood journey and the lessons they've learned along the way. If I've learned anything from interviewing such a wide range of moms, it's that no two extraordinary moms look the same. We all have a story to tell, and we are all mothering in our own way. So let's celebrate that and learn from one another. Thanks for listening, and if you like what you hear, please share this show with a friend. Happy Friday, friends. I'm so glad to be with you for another episode of the Extraordinary Moms Podcast. Has everybody had a good week? It has been a busy one around here. We have, if you've been following my moving military journey, so my husband's in the Navy, and we have been in between locations. We had just moved from Virginia. Our temporary place was in San Diego, where our family is, while waiting for our orders to come through in Ventura. And then we were waiting to find a house. So my husband's been up at a hotel during the week and then visiting us on the weekends. And then finally, we found a house, which we just love and think is going to be wonderful. That comes available tomorrow. So I'm driving up and our stuff's coming and we're going to move in. And thankfully, my parents are going to watch my kids. I know it sounds like a vacation, right? We get to unpack without any little hands going through the boxes. Doesn't that sound amazing? I can't wait to organize and purge anything that I'm just not feeling, which is really hard to do in front of your kids. You know, when they see it, of course they need to keep it. Of course they have an emotional attachment to it, but out of sight, out of mind. They literally haven't asked for any of their stuff since we've been living here. Nothing. They weren't like, oh, I can't wait to see such and such. No, nothing. Kids really don't need that much stuff. And so I can't wait to pare down, organize, get everything in a place. And then anything else is going to go. And I'm really excited about it. So I think it'll be really cathartic and exciting to get all of our stuff moved in. But then the kids and I aren't moving up there officially just yet because there's not a spot at the elementary school that's in walking distance from our house for my oldest son. And so until that slot comes available, we are happy and content here in San Diego. They have great teachers. We have our friends. I mean, it's just a great setup. So we're going to continue doing my husband working during the week up there and then coming down here on weekends, or we visit up there in Camarillo where we'll be living. But you know, I think this is a good plan for now, and I'll just be glad to have our stuff again and have, you know, some fall clothes. We're still working off of our summer wardrobe here and summer shoes and everything. And so it'll feel good. I'm really excited to have be one step closer to being settled. I think it'll be awesome. So it's been a busy week, but I definitely wanted to record because something has really been on my mind. And so, but before I get to my topic, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. You guys, on Tuesday's episode with Jenna Rammel, how great was Jenna? If you're new to the podcast, welcome. This is a great place to hear stories of extraordinary moms. And Jenna is exceptional in so many ways, but you're going to hear from all kinds of moms on this podcast. Moms of children with special needs, adoptive moms, stay-at-home moms, working moms, older moms, teenage moms, younger moms. There's just all kinds of moms on here, and we can learn so much from each other's story. So if you are just started following along, starting with Jenna's episode, I'm so glad you're here at the podcast. This podcast is a place where we want to cheer each other on. And while we celebrate motherhood, we also want to be real about motherhood and talk about the hard stuff and the challenges, but also realize there's a lot of joy to be found even amidst those hard seasons. Thanks for joining me today, and I hope that you continue following along with the podcast. And if you're new, dip back into the archives because there are so many great episodes with extraordinary moms from the past. And so because we had so many people tuning in to hear Jenna's episode, we reached number 2 on iTunes in the kids and family section. Yay! That is the highest we've ever been rated. And you guys, I love this so much because this podcast is not about me at all. I'm so happy to be the facilitator to bring these stories to light, but it's all about the moms. It's about these women who are doing extraordinary things in the lives of their families. And so I can brag about the podcast because it's not about me. It's about me bringing you the stories of other extraordinary moms that we can learn from and that I learn from every time I talk with them. So thank you so much for raising us to the top of the charts. I was so blown away by your generosity from your comments, and it makes me so happy to know that the effort that I put into these episodes every week does not go unrecognized, and it's making a difference in your life. knowing that perhaps you just suffered a miscarriage, perhaps you were adopted or you're in the adoption process. Maybe you're feeling like a lot of things are falling through the cracks lately, but hearing Jenna's episode really lifted you up and validated how you've been feeling. I love to hear that sense of connection and validation and encouragement, because she is an awesome mom, but she admits she's not perfect. And when we can see awesome moms that we really admire in their true form and talking about real mom stuff, it just empowers us to feel like, okay, we're probably doing better than we think we are. So the reason that rating is so important on iTunes is that it helps more moms to find the podcast. I'm just Jessica Dahlquist from Southern California, and I don't have a huge following. I'm not somebody that's famous or popular. I'm just a mom, and I want people to know about this podcast because there's so much we can learn from these stories of other mothers and their journeys and the lessons that they've learned. And so by being rated top in the podcast world, it means that other moms who are looking for a podcast to tune into can find us. And so if you would do me a favor, if you're enjoying this podcast, if you follow along every week and you haven't already done so, if you would leave a rating or review on iTunes, it would mean so much to me. In addition to the number of downloads, the ratings and reviews are another way that iTunes really recognizes the podcasts that people are loving. And so if you can hop over, if you haven't already done so, I would really appreciate it. It doesn't have to be long, but just that will help other moms to find the show. And that might be exactly what they need today to really get through. You can follow me on Instagram as well at JessicaDahlquist3. And as always, if you want any information about any of the podcasts, any of my guests, anything in the show notes, you can go to extraordinarymomspodcast.com. All right. Well, that was kind of a long intro. So sorry to make you wait for this topic, but this is something that's been on my mind lately. And it's the topic of empathy. When it comes to parenting, empathy really means you're trying to see things from your child's perspective. And you might have noticed, if you follow me on Instagram, you may have seen a picture that I posted on Sunday. At church on Sunday, my son Austin, who's 4.5, he's been having more trouble adjusting to our move than the other kids. I mean, Jackson's only 1 and Parker's 6.5, but he's far more social and outgoing and enjoys making new friends and enjoys new settings and things. But Austin really is just, he's amazing. He's a special little kid. He's very tender. He likes stability and security. He likes things the same. He eats Life cereal for breakfast every morning. Did you know Life cereal has a red food dye in it? Did you know that? With my older son, Parker, we were getting him off food dye and things like that for some behavioral issues, and that actually did really help. But as I was reading labels, Life cereal has red food dye in it, even though it's not a colored cereal. Did you know that? Crazy. Anyways, I digress. So he's just had a harder time adjusting. And, you know, at church, we have friends and familiar faces and stuff, but nobody that he really knows well and trusts. And there's not that same sense of, I don't know, home quite yet in the new church building that we're attending here in San Diego. So for the first hour, we attend church as a family. And then from there, the kids break off and they go to their Sunday school classes and the adults go to theirs. And Austin has had a little bit of trouble separating. First, they go to a bigger group, which Parker is a part of. So he has that kind of security. But then they break off into a smaller group after. And so he's really been wanting my husband or I to stay in the room while they're doing their lesson. And that's brought him some comfort. So he has been going, which is great. We just sit in the back of the room and just kind of give him a thumbs up when he looks over so that he can have that reassurance. And so then on Sunday, I was the one sitting in the back of the room, and then I ducked out like 5 minutes early because he looked like he was having fun and he was singing and he looked happy. And so I ducked out to go check on the baby. And not too long later, I see one of my friends bringing crying Austin to us. And he just got upset when he didn't see us in the room. And now my gut reaction was, oh, come on, Austin. There's kids in there that you know. There's adults you know. You know your teacher now. We've been going for weeks. Come on, Austin. You can do it. And my inclination would have been to kind of push him along. But my husband's reaction was different. And I'm not surprised because he kind of has this natural ability to empathize with our kids, which is just beautiful for me to see. And I'm empathetic, but it takes a little more effort and awareness on my part to do that, whereas it's more my husband's natural reaction. So I didn't say anything at first, but my husband said, okay, Austin, you don't want to stay in there because you don't know anybody. Okay, let's come with me. And so I was kind of leery at first that we were giving him an out. You know, I'm sure you've been in that position before, right? You're not sure if you should push your kids going to school. You're not sure if you should push your kids onto that team. You're not sure if you should, you know, leave them at sleepaway camp if they're feeling insecure. There's always that fine line between pushing them to try something you know they'll like, probably ultimately, and then giving in, but maybe that's what they need, or maybe that's just letting them off the hook. It's a really fine line, and it's hard to know, especially with young kids who can be kind of manipulative or they don't really know what they want. And it's our job as parents to kind of help them along, you know? And so, but I let my husband Pete do his thing, and so I took the baby and he stepped outside the church with my son Austin. And I saw them sitting out on the grass out by the parking lot, and they're sitting side by side. And then I see them kind of looking at each other, and then my husband starts doing little hand motions. And then I see my son Austin copying those hand motions. And I see them kind of talking or singing. I wasn't really sure what was going on. And that's when I took the picture, because I just thought, okay, something special is going on. That interaction is special, because my son was just upset and scared and insecure. And look what's happening. He didn't, you know, throw a tantrum. He didn't, you know, keep crying or keep whining or say he wanted to go home. But he got what he needed in that moment. In that moment, he needed his dad to hear him, or he needed me too to hear him. He needed us to understand that he was feeling insecure. He didn't want to be left alone with kids he didn't know, adults he didn't quite know well enough. And he just needed to be with somebody he felt secure with, and that was us. And so my husband and him emerge from outside and come back in the building a few minutes later. And Austin says, "Dad taught me a lesson today." And then he proceeded to teach me the gospel lesson that Pete had taught him with hand motions and a cute little chant. And, you know, my husband acted like it was no big deal and it was nothing at all. And Austin's smiling and he got something out of church. But I just loved that. It would be so easy for him to resent going to church, fear going to church, and, you know, start to resent other things as well if we kept pushing him into situations that didn't feel good. But because my husband really recognized, no, we need to meet him where he's at, understand what he's thinking and feeling right now, validate him, and then help him to work through that. And after that lesson and after he taught me, I'm like, wow, Austin, that's a great lesson. You know, I'm sure the kids in your class would love to hear it. Maybe next week you can teach him that. Do you think maybe next week you can try going to primary with your class? And he's like, yeah. And he didn't say it with fear, or he didn't push back that I don't want to go to church. So I could tell it was the right choice, because we weren't setting a precedent for you never have to go to church. You never have to go to class. You never have to do hard things. We weren't setting that precedent. We just met him where he was, and we really built up his confidence in that moment. And I really looked at my husband and admired him for seeing that that is what he needed in that moment. And I've seen time and time again with my kids that when I stop to try and understand why they're acting the way they are and try and understand how they're feeling in that moment or where certain behavior is coming from, every single time when I'm not seeing it from my perspective, but I shift down into seeing it from his perspective, every single time I get it. So maybe you're at the grocery store and they're whining for a treat at the cash register. I mean, you've been there, and if you wanted a treat, you would have put it in the cart, right? But it's our parental inclination to be like, nope, no treats. You're not getting candy. Nope, not happening. But like, if you wanted it, you would have just put it in the cart. But kids don't have that luxury and that control and those monetary funds available, right? And so when they're asking, and maybe a question that we have asked ourselves, like, oh, should I get a candy today? Should I pick up that bag of chips? Should I get that soda? Should I get this or that? You have control over those things. They do not. And so when they're asking you, they're not trying to be little buggers. You know, they're not trying to bug you. They're not trying to annoy you. They're not trying to be greedy. They're just asking regular questions, and we don't have to respond to them like they're trying to be annoying. So if we say, oh, you want that candy? Oh yeah, that's so delicious. You know what? we're not going to get it this time, but maybe we can, you know, spend some of your birthday money on that pack of licorice, or maybe next time we can get it. But this time we're not going to do that. We're trying to eat healthier today. Or you're at Target and you're going down the aisles. Oh, mom, I want that Lego set. Or, oh, I want that doll, you know, and they're whining and wanting it. I mean, isn't there stuff all the time that you want at the store and you're like, oh, should I get it? And you are adult and you have the power to say yes or no to yourself, right? Well, kids don't have that luxury, so they are asking you yes or no. So you can say, oh, that is such a cool toy. I'm going to take a picture of that with my phone, and that's going to be on your Christmas list this year. That is such a great idea. Or let's text a picture of that to your dad. He's going to think that's so cool too. We can't get that. It costs a lot of money, and we're not here to buy toys. We're here to buy something else. We're here to buy toilet paper, but man, that would be so cool. Just validating them and seeing it from their perspective, chances are that's going to get them off of that. I mean, they might still ask here and there, but chances are it's going to diffuse the situation and definitely curtail it from turning into a full-on tantrum, which is definitely something that I'm sure you've experienced. I've experienced it, and I've definitely handled it wrong. But when I've handled it right, when I've tried to just empathize with them, oh man, that's a cool Lego set. That is really neat. Okay, we're going to add that to your list. Oh, that would be so cool. And then move along, you know, instead of saying, no, you don't need that. Let's go. You always ask for stuff. Da, 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 da. There's no reason to engage like that. But empathizing, that can really diffuse the situation. It's kind of like in the episode 34 when Stephanie Marston and I talked about the book, How to Talk So Kids Will Listen and Listen So Kids Will Talk. One of the key tools was having empathy and using empathy language with your kids. And, you know, really identifying with their feelings, and because, you know, even though you may not have the same feelings they have about certain things, it doesn't mean that their feelings are wrong. It doesn't mean they're not allowed to have feelings. Oh, here's an example. My son was totally flipping out over something the other day, and he just started having the hugest tantrum. I think his brother broke one of his Legos or towers or something. So he starts throwing things and threatening to throw things. And because he's 6 and a half and we've progressed, he's learned not to throw the blocks and not to throw things. But a few years prior, he was throwing things and trying to break things. So I could see him kind of winding up. His fists are getting tight. He's, you know, furrowing his brow. He's getting so mad, and he's stomping up the stairs, and he's, you know, screaming, and he's acting like he's going to hurt somebody. And so one of his techniques is to walk away from the situation temporarily so that he's able to not hurt somebody and not just lash out irrationally, and to just kind of cool down separately. He's not in timeout. He's not being lectured. I'm not flipping out. I'm not yelling at him, but he's removing himself. And so after 30 seconds to a minute, I go to him and I just say, "You were really mad." And I just let him look at me. And he's like, "Yeah, I'm so mad. I want to hurt somebody. I want to throw things. I want to break things." And he starts like naming all these ways that he wanted to respond. And I'm like, "Yeah, when I'm mad, I want to do those things too sometimes. I totally get that. When I'm angry, oh, my fists get so tight and I feel like smoke's coming out my ears." And I could see him kind of softening as he started understanding that I got how he was feeling. And he wanted to feel validated in that. And so when he started to soften, then we could start talking. You can't talk to anybody in a rage. Have you ever been in a rage before? You don't want anybody talking to you, right? Nobody's going to solve your problems in that moment. You need to take some time to calm down before you can be reasoned with. Am I right? And kids are the exact same way. And so as he started calming down, I'm like, and I just empathized with him. I just said, "Oh, I know it's so hard to be mad and to feel and to have somebody break your tower. That is so frustrating." And he's like, "Yeah, it is so frustrating. I can't believe he always does that." I'm like, "Yeah, darn, that's frustrating." And I'm like, "But when we're mad, is breaking things going to solve that problem?" And in that moment, he could see clearly, no. Is yelling things going to make him listen to you? No. Is stomping up the stairs going to solve the problem? No. Okay. So what could we do, or what could we do when we're mad? Because I said, it's okay to feel mad, but it's not okay to hurt people. It's not okay to make people feel scared. It's not okay to scream at people. But it's okay to feel mad. It's normal to feel mad. And so helping them to recognize that those feelings aren't the bad part, but the reaction can be. And so it's our jobs as a mom to give them constructive ways to deal with those feelings that are big feelings. So, you know, what do you do when you're happy? What do you do when you're sad? How does that look? What are good ways to feel sad? What are not as good ways to feel sad? How about mad? How about angry? How about frustrated? Talk through those things with your kids, because when they're small and their brains are just developing and they don't have life experience to teach them things yet, well, as much as we do, this is our chance to teach them what it looks like to be mad in a constructive way or in an acceptable way. How we can be angry, how we can be frustrated, and have it still be okay to feel those things, but to be able to work through them in an acceptable way. And when we can teach them those skills when they're young, they have a much better chance of reacting in an acceptable way when they're older and teenagers and adults. I mean, don't you know adults that don't really know how to deal with things that don't go their way, right? And they kind of throw an adult tantrum and it looks the same as a toddler, but just with bigger bodies and probably swear words. So we need to teach them these things when they're young, because if they don't get it from us, where are they going to get it from? They're just going to do what comes naturally. And I guarantee that's not always going to be a good thing, because I know for myself, what always comes naturally to me is not always the right thing. So that experience at church really reaffirmed to me the power of empathy and the power of putting myself in my kids' shoes in order to help them make better choices and for me to make a better choice in how I handle the situation. So whether it's your child pushing back about going to school in the morning, whether it's, you know, deciding what they're going to wear, maybe it's your teenager wanting to, you know, go to a late night party. So that experience just taught me a lot this weekend, and I want to work hard to be more self-aware and empathetic to my kids, that I can choose that route in how I deal with them and how I parent them and how I model for them effective tools to really communicate with, you know, your parents, with other adults, with other kids. It's such a powerful tool that I know that I don't use near enough, but is really effective every single time. And so I always say, oh, I need to do that more. So it's just a good reminder. So thanks for tuning in today and indulging me in that little story. Next week, we have an awesome episode for you. I talked with Brooke White. You might know her from American Idol. You might know her from the Girls with Glasses show on YouTube. She is just an amazing person who is an extraordinary mom. She has one little girl, London, and at the time of the interview, she was pregnant with her second, who is now born, her little boy, Sunny. And in our chat, we talk about her journey with infertility and her struggle to get pregnant with her second. And I know a lot of you have been there. Infertility is such a hard and oftentimes lonely journey. And so I know that you'll be able to connect with her. And even if you haven't experienced infertility, you're going to gain so much from her wisdom and the lessons that she learned along the way in experiencing that. And she's just amazing. We had the greatest time talking. And I can't wait for you to hear the episode. So I hope you tune in next week for another episode with another extraordinary mom. Have an awesome weekend, and I'll see you on Tuesday. Bye.